Hello friends, welcome to B-School. We are on a very important subject, which we call it as agri-price risk management. You must have studied agriculture into various aspects, but in this particular book, we are going to cover the risk aspect of agricultural pricing. When we talk about agri-price risk management, we have all the chapters which focus into various aspects of agricultural price risk management. Like in the very first chapter, we are going to talk in general about agri-commodities. The next chapter is going to specifically focus on why there should be a pricing, why pricing is important in agri-commodities. The next third chapter, we'll talk about the challenges, the controllable challenges, the uncontrollable challenges in the pricing of agri-commodities. The fourth chapter will talk about different types of agri-commodities markets, because this is a modern concept. Traditional methods have been taken over, have been superseded by the modern concepts of agri-commodity markets. So we are going to understand what are the different types of agri-commodity markets. The fifth chapter is going to talk about Indian agri-commodity exchanges, because markets and exchanges both are different. So we are going to understand both the Indian agri-commodity exchanges, and we will understand about the global agri-commodity exchanges in chapter 6. Chapter 7 will talk about the different types of agri-commodity derivatives, because there has to be some contracts which are going to be exchanged, whether it's an Indian commodity exchange or a global commodity exchange. Then for enabling any student, for enabling any farmer to participate into this derivatives contract trading on the commodity exchanges, we have chapter number 8, which talks about the basics of options contract as well as how the options contracts are priced. And most important, even though you understand the basics, one has to master the art of trading into derivatives contract. So we have different types of agri-price risk management strategies in chapter number 9. And finally, whoever is going to trade in derivatives, generally derivatives are not traded for profit, but they are traded for balancing of risk. And here comes the important concept of hedging, which we are going to cover into chapter number 10, which is hedging as a tool for agri-price risk management. So friends, this entire 10 chapters of your agri-price risk management is going to be very, very useful for you to master the basics of agri-price risk management. So having said this, now let us understand some more details about each of these chapters. Like when we talk about chapter number 1, as I said before, you must have studied agriculture, more about Indian agriculture in your various other subjects. But in spite of that, we want to build up a base into agriculture. And that's the reason we have some basics about agriculture, more specifically about Indian agriculture, in our chapter number 1. Chapter number 1 is going to talk about what is Indian agriculture. When we talk about India, India is gifted with different regions. And when we talk about different regions, there are different climatic conditions. These climatic conditions enable sowing of different types of crops. And that is why India is gifted with different types of crops grown in different regions, grown in different seasons, in different quantities. The next important thing is, even though we have different regions, we have varied regions, we have different types of crops, the most important aspect of getting money out of it, getting value out of it, is only after marketing. And for that, we require a solid infrastructure. So we are going to understand in brief how these crops, how these agri products, commodities are marketed right from the traditional method. Because here we will see there is a massive improvement into marketing right from the traditional methods to the modern methods, wherein we see that there is no more that extent of physical or actual someone going and exchanging the crops physically. Most of it is done traditional modern times in the form of electronic transfers or electronic tradings. And we have for that purpose integrated markets in the form of ENAM. So we are also going to see how ENAM is going to be highly useful into electronic trading of agri commodities. Chapter 1 will also define agri commodities and explain the context of trading agri commodities on ENAM electronically, integrating the countrywide APMCs. So now any farmer, any trader from any part of the country can get integrated with this ENAM, and he can actually find a buyer and sell his produce to anyone who participates into this electronic trading of agri commodities. So friends, this chapter 1 is going to establish a very strong base for us to go to chapter number 2. When we talk about chapter number 2, having understood what types of crops are grown, what type of markets you are having, and the most important aspect is at what price are you going to trade. So how important is pricing of agri commodities? That is what we are going to understand in our chapter number 2. And this is right from before and after establishment of APMC. When we say APMC, these are somewhat established markets, but we are also going to understand how pricing was done when APMC wasn't there. APMC is not the ultimate method of trading. We are going to see the modern and the latest, which has evolved after the APMC, and how the pricing is done after APMC. So this is going to be a wonderful experience. Before APMC, during APMC, as well as after APMC, more specifically post-electronic national agriculture market, as well as we will see there are different types of markets when we talk about the spot markets and the future markets for very different types of agri commodities on the commodity exchanges. We will also learn the various factors that are affecting the pricing, because if we see different types of commodities, they are based on different types of factors that could affect. So we have a beautiful listing of various factors that can affect the pricing of different types of commodities. And finally, we'll also understand what are the basic objectives of pricing. So friends, chapter 2 is also going to be very interesting, because before we go into managing the risk of pricing, we have to understand how actually the pricing is done for the agri commodities. So all chapters are integrated, are linked up to each other. So when we understand the basics of agriculture in chapter 1, chapter 2, we talk about the importance of pricing. Now, is pricing of agri commodities simple? There will be different challenges before even we go more into research. Why we say different challenges? Because we see the variety of crops that are grown. We see the variety of crops grown into different regions, and obviously there will be different levels, different types of supply chains involved into transporting the produce from the farmers to the markets. And here comes the challenges, because when it goes across different levels of marketing, obviously the price will get added, and finally the farmer may not get the price which he wants. He will get a small part of exactly what the price is which the consumer pays ultimately. So we are going to understand the different challenges that the pricing of agri commodities can face. And here I would like you to make note of this wonderful concept which is going round across the globe. A days will come when a country will be measured on the number of crops, on the number of grains it's produced. So because the population is increasing, because the growth is happening, people will require grains to eat. And one day, the productivity of the grains will be an important parameter of measuring the strength of any country. And hence, it is very important for strategizing and enhancing the farm productivity by facing both the controllable as well as the uncontrollable challenges faced by the farmers. And this is what we are going to understand more specifically in chapter number 3, what type of controllable and uncontrollable challenges are there. And it will also focus on why it is imperative on helping our farmers to deal with, to cope with this controllable and uncontrollable, because farmers are going to fuel the productivity and they will actually boost the image of our country. Increasing farm productivity within the limited arable land. We have seen over a period of time the number, the amount or the size of the arable land is going on decreasing because of division happening in the joint families. The land which was arable once upon a time for a single family has been going down and down because of the divisions within the family, the nuclear family getting established, the nuclear families coming up in the urbanized areas, and lots of ownerships are happening, and because of which the control on a huge size of land that was once upon a time is no more. It is getting a lesser and lesser control on a limited size. And the question comes, within that limited size, how the productivity can be increased. So increasing farm productivity in the limited arable land is the biggest challenge for today's farmers. And here comes chapter 3, which will state various controllable and uncontrollable, and we'll also see how to overcome such challenges in chapter number 3. So having understood about the basics of agriculture, the importance of pricing, the controllable and uncontrollable challenges that a farmer has to face while pricing of agri commodities, now we are ready to enter into the commodities markets. So chapter 4 is going to talk about what is a commodity market, and it is going to create an evolution right from the ancient times to the modern times. And when we talk about modern times, there is a huge transformation in commodity markets because of the impact of technology and the urbanization. So urbanization and technology has brought in huge transformation in agriculture. Within agriculture, there are very agro-based industries that are set up, and this is one reason for urbanization. Evolution of commodity markets in India post-independence has been happening at a faster pace, because more than 50% of our population is depending on agriculture even today. And agriculture also contributes handsomely to the GDP of our country. And hence government from time to time is designing, devising various methods, policies for improvement of agriculture as a whole. And for doing this, government has been appointing various committees and taking recommendations from them for improvement of agriculture, for growth of the farmers, for increasing productivity. And in chapter number 4, we are also going to see evolution and recommendations, various committees that have been appointed by government specifically for improving agri-commodities market. And finally, chapter 4 will bring out the reasons why SEBI, the sole regulator of commodity markets, has given a lot of powers, because we will see the FMC has been merged with SEBI, and currently SEBI is the sole regulator of commodities market. And we will also see after SEBI what our main changes have been brought about for the growth and development of the agri-commodities market. So the reason why SEBI was given sole powers is seen why it has got success, and we will also see how improvements have been brought about because of SEBI being made the sole regulator of agri-commodities market. So chapter 4 is going to be very important from understanding what are the different markets, and more importantly, how SEBI is successfully regulating the commodities market. That brings us to chapter 5 and chapter 6. Chapter 5 is going to talk about Indian agri-commodity exchanges, because when we talk about exchange of agri-commodities, when we talk about exchange of agri-commodities in the standardized manner, in a specific rules and regulations, then it has to be done on an exchange. And we are going to see what exactly is a commodity exchange, what are the different types of commodity exchanges within India in chapter 5, globally in chapter 6. Chapter 5 is going to explain you various commodity exchanges in India as well as the role of these exchanges. It will also specify, because anyone cannot go and start trading on an exchange. One has to take membership. And here we will understand what are the different types of membership on a commodity exchange. Members can participate in trading, and they have to fulfill the requirements before becoming a member. So we are also going to understand some specific requirements about each of the commodity exchanges in India. And finally, it will also explain some of the contract specifications, because whenever we want to trade any commodity, we'll have to specify what amount, what quantity, how it is going to be delivered, how it is going to be settled. So all these requirements has to be put into one place, and that is what we call it as the contract specification. So we are also going to see some of the standard specifications across Indian commodity exchanges, which are standardized for agri commodities. So having understood what exactly are Indian agri commodity exchanges, we will move to chapter 6. We will talk in same terms, but this time it would be the global agri commodity exchanges. Chapter 6 will explain the evolution of the global agri commodity exchanges. When I say evolution, we'll start right from the beginning, where we can trace the growth or actually happening of agri commodities markets at a global level. Then we'll also see the derivatives contracts, how did it evolve along with the exchanges. We'll also get ideas about the manner in which these agri commodities are traded, because it requires some standardizations, we require some rules, we require some contract specifications, and what transformation has happened for the growth and development of agri commodities at the global level as well as at the Indian level. So chapter 5 and 6 will make you acquainted with various types of agri commodities at a within India as well as globally. Then when we said any trade that happens on the commodity, whether it is Indian commodity exchange or a global commodity exchange, these trades happens through a contract. And when we talk about contract, there is a specific contract which we call it as a derivative. And when we talk about derivatives, there can be different types of derivatives. And chapter 7 is going to explain us what are the different types of derivatives. When we talk about derivatives, it will cover the basic concepts as well as it will explain different types of agri-commodity contracts available to the farmers. We will talk specifically from the point of farmers for dealing with agri-price risk management, and the different types of contracts that are generally available for farmers can be your forward contract, your future contract, as well as an option contract. And when we talk about this trading of derivatives, it need not be always on a derivatives exchange. It can be done over the counter, which specifically means it can be done between two parties. That is what we call as over the counter. It will also help to understand how derivative markets helps in improving the price discovery. When we say price discovery, when a contract is actually traded between different parties, everyone will have a say, everyone will have a quote, and based on the quote that comes from different parties, a price, a real price for that contract is derived. That's what we say, the price discovery. So obviously, whoever is going to sell is going to get the best price rather than selling at distress and getting whatever price that is available at particular point of time. Then transfer of various risks can happen. Even though one is going to sell it, something may happen in the future, and for that reason he may have to insure himself, and that's how we say transfer of risk. So we'll also see what are the different ways of transfer of risk and removing the hassles of cumbersome physical trading. When we talk about removing the hassles of cumbersome physical trading, it obviously means we do electronic forms of trading where the commodities need not be exchanged physically when the actual deal happens. And this is specifically useful when you are trading in huge bulk quantities of agri commodities. So chapter 7 is going to talk to you on different types of derivatives, different types of risk management, and that will create a base for understanding our chapter 8, which will go more deeper into understanding if at all a trading has to be done in different forms of contract. Then these forms which we already seen, this can be an option, this can be a future, this can be a forward. So chapter 8 is going to talk specifically on options and options pricing. It will start from the evolution of option trading right from the first time when the option trading started till the modern times, and what would be the option strategy in the modern times, why it should be used, basic concepts of options pricing, the different concepts relating with the options, like the options payoff, the options styles, the options strategies, and we'll also explain the trading, why trading in options is getting very popular with the farmers. When we talk about futures, there can be amount of risk that may be involved in futures, but the options trading helps you to enter into this contract at a minimal risk. So that is the beauty of it, and that is where the options trading is getting more popular amongst the farmers as well as amongst the investors. And finally, chapter 8 will list out the basic differences between a forward contract and options contract, because this difference will talk specifically when trading bilaterally, that is on the over the term counter contract, as well as the other way of dealing, that is on an exchange, where a large number of people can deal under specific rules and regulations. So we'll see exactly what are the differences between a forward contract and an options contract. So that will take us to chapter 9, which is agri price risk management strategies. So chapters 7 and 8 will talk about different types of derivatives contract, as well as the basics of options and options pricing. But even though you have a tool, you should know, you should be able to use it effectively. And for this reason, you require different strategies, which means you need to combine different types of contracts together. And this is where we talk about the risk management strategies. So chapter 9 will explain the basic risk. What is the meaning of risk? From where does the risk arise? So various sources of risk, various factors that can affect the risk, specifically from our agricultural produce marketing. The strategies of risk management, having understood what we actually have, basis on that what strategies can be deployed, then usage of derivatives as a risk management, and various approaches suitable for managing a derivative position as well as exposure. So friend, this is going to actually pour into lots of details to master this technique of agri price risk management. So that is how it will cover a lot and lot of things. It will not only take you through the evolution, it will not only tell you what the traditional methods of marketing, what the traditional methods of agri price risk management were there, but it is going to bring you to what is actually existing today, the modern and the most latest methods of agri price risk management. So chapter 10 is going to be very interesting. This is totally at a professional level when we talk about using hedging concepts. Chapter 10 will explain the meaning of hedging, the main objectives of hedging, how hedging can be used for offsetting losses, because every time any contract need not be done only for profits. Like when we buy an insurance, we don't buy insurance for profits, but we buy insurance for covering a loss in case of a contingency, in case of an uncertain event happening. Hedging is exactly like that. Hedging is basically to offset any loss that may arise out of your trading. And this can also be done using forwards, using futures, as well as options. And in this chapter, we'll understand more details about hedging, the various steps and various essential requirements in hedging. And finally, we'll also see some aspects of hedge accounting, because this is also very useful. It's not just good in doing trading. We also understand the accounting aspects to make our trading more efficient and more effective.